The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. Hey, and I say welcome back because it's been a couple of weeks and this is issue number 128. I'd like to call it 129, but we didn't have a 129, so we didn't have a show last week, John.
We did not. We had technical difficulties.
Yes. And we'll get into that. But, John, what should we name the show this week?
I think Geiger.
Geiger?
That's a good name. I think so.
All right. I brought up home, but that's okay.
Oh, so our off-air conversation meant nothing to you.
It went so well in rehearsal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. We liked both of them, actually. So
we did, yes.
But, yeah, Geiger was last week. Kind of got slighted because we weren't there. But Geiger, Holm, either one. You can't go wrong. But, yeah, this week from Image Comics, we have Geiger. And really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed Holm. A few other books. A lot of books we talked about this week. We got quite a bit, and we had a great conversation in Kryptonite. Not a ton of giveaways, but
right,
little bit of a discrepancy there between us and Kryptonite. We're not really sure where.
Well, yeah, I'm not
going.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're gonna.
I might have misunderstood this show for 4 weeks now.
So, yeah, you got to check that out. And then let us know where you weigh in.
I'm probably wrong, but I don't know.
Hey, not the first time, not the last time. And
definitely not.
Better you than me. Because it's usually me.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get in the store?
Yes.
Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good, good. How have things been?
I'm not used to hearing the musical intro as we start this thing.
You can hear it?
I can hear it, yes.
Good, good. That's
nice. I'm
not
used to hearing that. Yeah.
No? It's a crowd in the store. You can't hear that?
I can.
Listen to the crowd. They're so happy.
I know. I wish
happy
I could
that
see
we're
the crowd,
back.
Too.
Huh?
I wish I could see them as well.
How have you been the last 2 weeks, John?
Been
two
good.
2 weeks.
Been good.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, before we start getting into everything that we've been through in the last 2 weeks, not like we've been through a lot, although you've been hard at work. We'll get to that in a minute. Did you see the tweets? We got emails and tweets last week because we didn't have a show.
I did. I saw the response to your little white lie, really.
It wasn't a white lie. We had technical difficulties. I put it in quotes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm not aware of any technical difficulties. But that implies we recorded a show and lost it.
So. No, that's not what we said at all. That's not at all what we said. I just said technical difficulties. So we actually just had technical difficulties a second ago there because we were so excited with the new audio that we have going on here that I forgot to switch us over. So the YouTube video has just a blank screen for a little bit of us talking. But
oh, nice.
I don't think people really tune in for our mug anyways.
Probably an improvement, really.
Yeah, exactly.
For our tens of listeners.
Yes. But the response that we got out of not putting out a podcast, John?
We got to do it more often.
I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Oh, jeez. That's a deep cut, man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's what I was thinking all last week. I'm thinking, like, what the? Like, we put out a podcast every week. I think that's the only second time since we started that we did not put out a podcast.
Yeah, because even the weeks I've taken off, you've had something come out. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I put out a tweet at 8 o'clock, apologize for technical difficulties. And, you know, I planned on telling the truth anyways, but you had told me, what, 2 weeks in advance, 3 weeks in advance, you needed it off?
Couple weeks, yeah.
Weeks, and I've been so busy, I was like, I know, we have people, Dr. Joe, Martin, Freddie from Indie Alley, many people I could have asked to jump on. I could have just put something out. But, and that's why I didn't say anything ahead of time, because I had planned, what if I felt like doing something like that and just going with it? But I wanted to keep my options open, but at the same time, I also knew that if I had some time, I just wanted to take some time, so I did.
Yeah.
So, technical difficulties. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with us through those trying times.
Yeah.
And thanks for the response. We should not put out a podcast more often.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If we want to increase our brand recognition, we should not put out a show.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. I was just checking something. Let's see. So what else you got going on? It's been too, I'm not in the flow yet. I'm not back into the flow yet.
Yeah. I can see that.
So a lot of new things going on here. I'm little on edge,
Okay.
So what did you do during your off week? just behind the scenes stuff. That's all. Just been crazy around here. What have you been up to? I saw you painted your room.
Well,
that, it
I don't want
awesome.
To imply that I don't want to imply that I painted it. I had it painted.
Ooh, money bags.
If I lift my arms, you can see the new floors that I also didn't do, but had somebody do.
What are they, hardwood?
Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah, we had some work done at the house last week. So basically we repainted the whole house and we removed all traces of carpet.
That's why you sound so much different.
Yeah. It's louder.
Yeah, you have no. I can hear you sound echoey now because have hardwood in there. No carpet.
No carpet. Yeah.
Oh, so, we're gonna have to put some sound dampening in there, buddy. You don't sound as clean and crisp.
The three bedrooms all had carpet in them and the closets and all that stuff. So we had all that replaced with hardwoods, and then we repainted the house. So that was most of last week. And while I didn't do the work of painting and changing the floors, we had to do a lot of work to, if you remember,
pack
2 weeks
leave.
Ago, yeah, this room was full of boxes, and you know, I had to pack up all my stuff from behind me and everything in all the closets, and you know, we had did a lot of work as well, but we didn't do
it. Looks great,
yeah,
just from what I can see back here. I mean, from
really
behind
happy
you,
with it. The house looks great. Yeah, the walls look great. Floors look great. So yeah, pretty pleased.
Nice. Yeah. I'm still in a closet here.
I know. So the closet under the stairs.
Yeah, so. You could tell. Still in the closet.
Studio under the stairs.
The studio under the stairs. Harry Potter right here.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
That's you. The boy who lived.
Yeah.
The boy who podcasted.
Yeah. Oh, but we talked a little bit earlier. You saw my new to home theater video, Keeping It Simple.
I did, yes.
Right?
What'd
you think?
Watched it this morning.
Is that decent advice?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I got a pretty good response from it.
Yeah, so you had a bunch of people that watched it and responded to that a lot more than most of your other videos, actually. So,
yeah, stuff, how to stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems to be a topic that a lot of people had interest in. So.
Oh, yeah, I expected that. Just like the when I built the what do you call them? Oh, masking, the four-way masking I did. That video is in the thousands now, something like that. So,
little
podcasting guy. I'm happy with it.
Bad.
I'm having fun with it. So,
not too shabby.
But that'll be fun. I'm gonna do more of those. Martin tweeted at me. He's like, I think you made this for me.
Yeah.
It's like pretty much. Yeah. It's like it's made for anybody that's like on the fence or something. But
yeah, I don't want it to go to your head, but you almost looked like you knew what you were doing. So
that 7 minute video took me about 36 hours to make.
Yeah.
All the research. What are you going to do to join home theater? Actually, it's about 30 years in the making, actually.
Well, yeah. I'd say more than 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Do you have anything else? I hear we have some breaking news, something not in our notes.
I do, yes. I saw this. All right, man. I'm not used to all the sound when I'm going through this. It's like you scared me.
You actually jumped a little.
Well, because I wasn't expecting it.
I know.
Wasn't expecting it. You got to warn a guy, man. So Mark Millar's comic Starlight has been picked up by 20th Century Studios, a.k.a. Disney. And it looks like it's going to get motion picture treatment. So I'm not familiar with that property specifically, but I know Mark Millar had signed, I thought, an exclusive deal with Netflix to produce stuff for them. So,
well, they did, but do you remember in that it was they had first rights?
Oh yeah,
remember?
I guess that's, yeah,
that Netflix had first rights to everything, and then but he could be elsewhere. So apparently,
since they've literally done nothing of his yet. I guess they decided to pass on the first project.
Can't wait to see what's coming.
So after spending $500 million or so to get the rights to all his stuff, this is the one they passed on. So
now, who did you –
it's 20th Century
Studios. So maybe they sold it to them.
Yeah.
Maybe Netflix sold it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Sign and trade
type thing, like football.
I like his stuff. I don't know this one particularly, but should be good. We'll see Jupiter's Legacy pretty soon on Netflix. I guess I take it back because they have a project of his coming really soon, which is Jupiter's Legacy.
And we're going to be talking about that in a little bit.
Yeah. So that should be good. That comes in just a few weeks.
Yep.
All right. So next on the list, it looks like we have another villain cast for Shazam Fury of the Gods. Lucy Liu has been cast as Calypso. Along with Helen Mirren, I think she's supposed to be the daughter of the character that Helen Mirren is playing.
That's exactly what it is.
Sister,
I heard. No, I heard two different people say two different things. I'm not familiar with the character at all.
Well, I don't think either. Like, I know the character that Helen Mirren is playing was made up specifically for the movie. It's not a character that exists in the comics. So I'm thinking Calypso is probably the same.
That's good logic.
It's a character. Right, which doesn't make sense to me because with all the, like, I mean, there's a... almost as long as Superman. There's like a 78-year history of Shazam and Shazam comics, and they couldn't choose a villain that exists in his mythology already. They had to – by the second movie, they've already run out
of Shazam villains. They might just be bit parts too.
Yeah, and they have to be making up characters. But and then I saw another – oh, no, I'm sorry. This isn't Shazam news, but it's related. I saw a rumor today that Sarah Shahi, who is playing in the Black Adam movie, maybe playing Isis, which I think would be really cool. Because she's a big character in the Shazam world. And for those of you that are our age, may remember the Shazam Isis Hour on Saturday mornings.
Yes,
that we used to get. So
yep.
So that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Lucy Liu too.
I do too. Yeah. I always have. She's really good.
Did you watch Elementary?
I did. Yes.
I love that show.
For a couple of seasons. I actually fell off. I fell off of it towards the end, but she was great in that. That was actually a good show. I don't know why I stopped watching it. I just kind of, it's one of those things that just you fall away from sometimes.
You can't watch everything, John.
You can't.
As much as you try.
Yeah. I try to watch it all.
Right.
But, don't always get there.
No.
All right. Next we have Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah, who is from Fleabag on Amazon Prime. Has been cast in a leading role, is all it says, in the Indiana Jones 5 movie. So I don't know exactly what she's going to be doing, but I liked Fleabag. I thought it was pretty funny. So she's got a good comedic sense. And, you know, Indiana Jones is kind of known for having that comedy angle built in. So should be good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the chemistry between her and Harrison Ford is yet, because there's like Harrison Ford could be her grandfather.
Can you think of a movie that he hasn't had good chemistry? I'm not saying like he doesn't have better chemistry with other people, with different people. But he has good chemistry.
I love
Anne
Heche.
Yeah. I mean, they had great chemistry.
That was a good movie. I can't remember what it was now, but
yeah. But they were good in that, and their age difference is huge.
Yeah.
And they
married or dating? Weren't they together at the time of that movie?
Were they? I thought Anne Heche was with Ellen at the time.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I thought they had some kind of relationship at the time, but
I don't know. Maybe you're right. You read all the tabloids. I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm a supermarket rag kind of guy. So... me and the World News Report.
So where you get all your news.
Well, it is, you know, as is evidenced by the stuff I bring to this show.
To the show, yeah.
Yeah. All right. It looks like Netflix is the new streaming home for all future Sony releases. And that includes the Spider-Verse movies, also to include the Spider-Man movies, which one would think would go to Disney Plus, but they appear to be going to Netflix. So I think that's interesting. You know, Sony, of course, isn't bound by Disney and can do whatever they want with them. But
yeah.
I just wonder how that plays into like the connectivity that those Spider-Man movies have with the rest of the MCU. Because if I'm not mistaken, right now the two Spider-Man movies are on Disney Plus, right?
I don't think so.
Are they not? I thought they were.
I don't think so.
Maybe they're not. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I thought they were. But this says future movies. So there could still be a world where the first two Spider-Man movies are on Disney Plus, but Spider-Man 3 would end up on Netflix. So
okay,
we'll have to see.
It's not that big a deal. It's like
that's
how spoiled we've become in the last couple of years with all of these, like, go to Disney Plus and you can get everything there. Now we're like, oh, come on, I got to hit the button a couple times.
Yes, it doesn't matter. I have all of those services, so they can go wherever they want. But for those that don't spend $9,000 a month on streaming services and are choosing between which ones they have, it makes a little difference, you know.
So what is it now when you sit down, you know, like you want to do on the weekends, you sit down to watch the 23 movies in a row. Yeah. What is it, four movies you actually have to leave Disney Plus for now for Marvel? I think it's the Hulk and the two Spideys.
Yeah, it's only
so
three,
that's only
really.
Three, I
and
think,
I don't know.
Right?
Again, I'll have to check. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn I thought the first two Spider-Man movies were there already, but
I don't know.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I watch them on disc, so
yeah. Well, that's the thing. Me too. So
I don't go to Disney Plus for that stuff, but
yeah.
All right, but I do go to Disney Plus because I do want to do that chronological thing. So you go there for the order, and then I just throw them in on disc.
But then the Spider-Man movies are missing from that if they don't appear on Disney Plus. So
maybe they just tell you.
Yeah.
Go to Netflix.
Right. It says, all right, now go to Netflix. We'll wait and then watch Spider-Man and come back.
We'll hit pause.
Yeah.
So. Oh. All right. What are we up to next? Here we go.
Yeah. So Mark Hamill and comedian Bert Kreischer are starring.
Marriage Made in Heaven.
Yeah, starring in a new movie called The Machine, which is based solely on a joke that Bert Kreischer tells in his stand-up comedy routine. If you have not seen those, by the way, that you need to. Cause
what's that?
The Bert Kreischer stand-up specials that are on Netflix. There's like three of them. He is like a big, fat, shirtless hillbilly.
Yeah, well, that's the picture I have.
Yeah, but he's super funny. So yeah, they're turning basically one of his jokes. His nickname is The Machine, and there's a whole story surrounding why he has that nickname. And it looks like they're turning that into a movie, and they got Mark Hamill to star with him. So I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw this headline, but I can't wait for it already because, like, I don't know what Mark Hamill's role in this is. I think he plays his father.
Yeah.
So, yeah, should be really good, though. That's it as far as – I mean, there was a bunch of news last week, but I didn't – I figured by now it was
it's a week
news,
old.
So,
there really wasn't really that much. And
bring any of that up, so –
I just,
but yeah, I had stuff I had been saving last week before I remembered I wasn't doing a show, and then I just
look at you, the dedication.
I know. I mean, hey,
I was putting stuff together just in case you were like, you know what, I'm ready.
Yeah,
you barely do that when we are doing a show.
Well, yeah, but my whole house was in a state of disrepair Wednesday night. There was really no way that was going to happen.
Yeah,
I didn't even have my computer set up in this room at that point. So
yeah. All right. Is that that's all? I haven't been online. I haven't done anything through the internet in the last couple of days. Really, I've barely even been on Twitter. Thank you for bringing the news to me. Even.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, we ready to get into some comics this week? There we go, John.
I was prepared this time. Now I know.
There you go.
Yeah. So, all right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is Canto in the City of Giants, issue number 1. There's 2 incentive covers for this. The 1 in 10 variant cover is selling for between $12 and $15. So that's pretty much where you would expect it to be, right at ratio. But the 1 in 25 is selling for $40 plus, so almost double ratio on that one. And as we've talked about before, these Canto titles have a second life after they leave the shelves. And we know that this series has been picked up for a TV show on one of the streamers. I don't remember which. So this should hold some value, I think, going forward.
Yep.
Next book is Children of the Atom, issue number 2. The 1 in 25 Henderson variant is also going for around $40. So, again, almost double ratio on that one. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, number 279. The 1 in 10 here is going for about $20.
Cool.
Guardians of the Galaxy, issue 13. There is a Rob Liefeld variant that should see some interest, but it's not really selling for over cover price yet. But the big winner here is the 1 in 50 Peach Momoko variant cover that's selling for between $75 and $85.
Got that one,
Joker,
too.
The 1 in 50?
Yeah, I didn't buy it. I'm saying I have a picture of
pictures. Oh, okay. I was going to say, pictures. You bought that one? Really?
Yeah. No. I got that one, too.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're not painting your house, you have a little extra money lying around to buy comic books.
I guess so. All right. Joker, issue number 2. This is the first appearance of the Daughter of Bane. So this is another one of those books where, you know, I really wish we would have known this before we locked in FOC. Because I could have ordered, you know, quite a few more copies of this. But the main cover here is selling for about $10, which is a little less than double cover price. I think this is a $5.99 cover book. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it selling for $12 to $15 so before the end of the week. The Libra Mayho variant, which is just the regular B cover, is still selling for right around cover price. The 1 in 25 variant selling for up to $45, so...
That's the black and white one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sketch cover.
That's
so
nice.
Close to double ratio there. But there was also a secret 1 in 50 variant that retailers received if they ordered, obviously, 50 copies of this. And this one was titled Santa Prisca.
Yeah.
And that's how it appeared on the invoices. I didn't get one of these because I didn't order enough.
Did you
copies.
See it?
I did see it, yes. And that's selling
pretty
for
cool.
About $250. So,
yeah,
really crazy on that one. Again, thanks DC for not telling your retail partners what's going on ahead of time. Because, you know, at the time of FOC, I had sold not that many copies of Joker number one. So I didn't go super heavy on Joker number two.
Right.
And of course, this thing sold out. So, yeah, that's awesome. Next, we have Mighty Morphin Issue. This is like the only – I'm going to jump on my soapbox for a minute.
Here we go.
I know I've said this before.
Are we going back to the other
book? This is the only industry that I know of where like your distribution partners do not try to help their retailers maximize sales of their product.
Right.
Because
– Well.
Had they told us that even something was going to happen, not even that it was the daughter of Bane or whatever, just say, hey – order up on issue two, wink, wink, trust me. We might have ordered a few extra copies of it. But for some reason, comic book publishers want to keep everything a big secret and not sell their product. So I don't understand it. But anyway, I'll jump down off my soapbox now and move to Mighty
Morphin. You're
getting
old. Do you need a hand?
I do. My soapbox is really only this tall because I can barely – I step onto my soapbox. I don't really jump on and off anything. So, Mighty Morphin, issue number six. There's.
I got a good story about this.
About this?
Yeah, this book.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. So there's
not that good.
Two Peach Momoko incentive covers here, the 1 in 25 and the 1 in 50. The 1 in 25 is selling for right around $30. The 1 in 50 for about $60. So pretty much right where you'd expect him to be.
So you got to see it on YouTube.
Okay.
I'm like researching these books to get the images, right?
Right.
Like, what the hell? How the hell? It's the same book. Why is 1 in 25 and 1 in 50? What the? I couldn't tell the difference because I just kept flipping back and forth online. But now that right. I put them here, the only difference is... one has the writing.
Yeah, one's a virgin variant. One's
right.
One's the cover.
So, like, cover. Literally when I flip back and forth on YouTube...
you couldn't tell the difference.
The writing goes away. It just did, right. Like, because it dissolves away very nicely.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
But... Dynamite does that a lot with their, yeah. with their 9,000 variant covers every month. They do the
yeah, but when I'm trying to look up all the different books that we're doing, and I'm like, which right. one is it? I'm like, and I flip back and forth so many times, I had to unload the page and then type in again what I'm looking for so I know which one was the 1 in 10 and which one was the... 1 in 50.
Generally the trade dress one will be the lower ratio because the yeah. virgin covers are more in demand.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, but when you start to get nervous, you forget.
Oh, I know.
Logic goes out the window.
Yeah.
I didn't have much to start with.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, you were.
All right. And the last one here is Usagi Yojimbo number 18. The 1 in 10 variant here is selling for over ratio.
I got no image.
Yeah, it's
nobody
undetermined
can find it.
How much over ratio. This sold last week on eBay for around $60, which is crazy for a 1 in 10 variant. And there are still listings in the 50 to 60 range, but there haven't been any additional sales in that price range. So, yeah, it's hard to say what this thing is actually worth. But it's definitely one to look for if you can find the 1 in 10 out there because it seems to have a lot of interest with this one.
Hmm.
And that's it for a speculator roundup.
All righty. Are you ready to get into some back issue bonus?
I am.
Oh, goody. There's no sounder for that yet.
Okay, I was waiting.
I know you were.
Because don't we usually have a book drop and like the swish?
No,
somewhere?
That's checkout.
Later on, huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I don't even know.
If you come up with a decent sound for back issue bonus, I'm like, it's been years. I can't really think of one. Now that I can drop them in easier. It's...
yeah, well, if something's if I come across one somewhere, I'll let you know.
Back issue bonus.
Where.
I'm like,
I don't know where I'll be, where I'll come across that sound.
I know.
If I do, I'll let you know. But yeah, anyway, so the first book is Loki, Agent of Asgard, issue number 2. This is the first appearance of Verity Willis. I don't know who that is, but probably in a week or two from now, there'll be a new story talking about Verity Willis, and we'll be able to link it back to this. This is selling for between $20 and $25 currently. And there's a 1 in 25 variant for this that's selling for about $150. So that's quite a bit.
Quick disclaimer for back issue bonus. I do my best to get these images correct.
Oh, yeah.
But don't take my word for it. Don't go pay $150 for something that you said you saw on Brightside Chat.
Right.
Like, I paid $150 for this. Yeah, that's the wrong
book. We're not giving
you
your money back.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like, sorry. Little extra research on your part when you're spending $150. Actually, when you're spending $10.
Like, do your due diligence, folks.
Yeah. I got a screen grab from the Brightside Chat.
Yeah. They said to buy this book right here.
For $150.
I'll give you $150 for it. And John's behind the counter going, okay. I only have it marked for $10, but I'll take $150.
Speaking of John, nice segue there.
Yeah.
If you had $1 million deposited into your account, what are you doing?
I'm playing the Eddie Pence wait and see game.
I see the thing is, let's let everybody know. On one of the shows we listened to, a woman's actually, she's in jail right now because
one of the investment bank firms.
Accidentally deposited $1.6 million into her account. And before they could take it back, which was what, like a day or two?
The next day. I want to know how you move $1.6 million out of your account in 24 hours.
I'll tell you off air, John.
Yeah. I think there's like a checks and balance waiting period to move that kind of money.
I know. But yeah, so she took it and moved it all. And the bank couldn't get at it. They couldn't get back at it to take it back to their typing error or whatever they did. And so she's in jail because she can't give it. She won't give it back because she spent half of it or something ridiculous.
Yeah, bought a car, you know.
So I'm like, and they had the big debate.
Yeah, there was a debate between the two hosts.
What do you do if that's you? And the whole time I'm thinking of you going, you and I have played this game.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you'll take the $10 out of my back pocket just because it's showing.
I'm like Bridget from Long Island. I'll have that money in a Swiss account in less than 24 hours, and I'll be living on – I'll be in Costa Rica.
Yeah. It's, so. But you, I don't know what the legalities of that are. To me, it seems kind of shady. Like, if somebody accidentally delivers something to you, you get to keep it because they can't charge you for it. But I suppose – I don't know. It's pretty funny. I wouldn't keep it because I'd be afraid to go to jail. I want to go to jail.
Well, no, but Eddie was saying he wouldn't take it, but he would let it sit for like 30 days, and if they didn't claim it after 30 days,
yeah.
he would then assume that it was his, and that's the approach I would take.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know? I wouldn't go spending it. I would be like,
because to Ralph's point, it was never yours.
No, it's not yours, but if nobody's missing it.
Right. It's like the lost and found, you know.
Yeah, I go
if nobody
with that.
Comes and claims it, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, all right. Back to the, are we now?
Where was I? Oh, okay.
Black Adam.
Yeah, Black Adam, Endless Winter. So this actually is a fairly new book. Just came out a few weeks. Well, about a January, probably. Huh. Endless Winter, I think, came out. But the B cover for this by Boss Logic has a, you know, it's obviously Black Adam. And there's a lot of hype building. Yeah. Oh, no. I remember getting them at the time, but I sold out of them. But there's a lot of hype building now for Black Adam based on the movie and The Rock. Which, again, little sidetrack, but I saw a story today. Did you know that Dwayne Johnson was cast for this movie 14 years ago?
Really?
And it's taken this long to get it into production. So that's a lot of dedication to stick with a project for 14 years. But yeah, I didn't realize that this had been in the works for that long. But anyways, yeah.
We had heard about it, but...
Yeah, but not 14 years ago.
No,
not... That was a long time ago. That's 2007.
Yeah. But you hear that all the time about movies that you like. I mean, the most famous one is Superman that never got made with, you know, Nicolas Cage. And that had been in the works. And then we heard about it like 10 years later. And you're like,
but in 2007, we weren't even thinking about a Shazam movie. We hadn't had the Snyder cut. I mean, the Snyder movies yet. Like, we didn't have anything. So to think that they were planning a Black Adam movie that long ago is kind of.
There was. Like I said, what was it with Blade? Was it Blade or it was something like on one of the audio commentaries of like a Blade movie or something from the 90s? They were talking about a lot of the like movies that are already in the MCU now that they were like, oh, we were going to do that movie before we did Blade and stuff. And then these movies come about and parts of the stories end up in the ended up in the MCU. But there's all sorts. I mean, it takes forever for movies to get made.
Oh, it does. It does. I just was surprised to see that. It, you know, like I said, it kind of shocked me.
I remember when I did Midway. I reviewed Midway, and I listening to Roland Emmerich talk about that, and that one took him 25 years to make.
Yeah,
because
but I think that's
they didn't have the technology. Yeah,
that wasn't so much he made studio BS. Yeah. It was more like he wasn't. You know, it's like Lucas going back to the the trilogy and ruining them. You know, he didn't have the technology to do what he wanted to do
to ruin them.
To ruin them. Yeah. He didn't have the technology in 1977 to make a worse movie than what he made in 1977.
Can you imagine if he had a sledgehammer?
I know.
You're awful.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, back to this movie. A couple weeks ago, this was a $10 book. Now it's selling for between $40 and $50. So it's super hot.
It's a nice cover. Sorry I didn't include it. I know I saw it,
anything
though.
Black Adam is hot. Like, I sold a couple of comics today just because they had Black Adam on the cover. So, yeah, a lot of hype around him right now. And a lot of that is just really thanks to The Rock, because most people don't know who Black Adam is, but everybody knows The Rock, and he's really excited about this movie. So he's doing a great job of building anticipation and hype for this. This will probably be the highest grossing DCEU movie of all, just because of him.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to. It's funny as you're talking, I'm thinking, I remember hearing about this movie before we heard Shazam was coming out. And then Shazam was coming out, and you're like, oh, I thought we were getting this shortly thereafter. And
or that Black Adam would be the villain in the Shazam movie, which would make more sense than Calypso and Helen Mirren. But, you know. That's neither here nor there.
All right.
All right. So next is another book that came out very recently.
Last week?
Actually, last week. So pretty recently. Geiger, issue number one. This is selling for about $15 for the A cover, right around $10 for the B cover. And there was a one per store black and white variant that's selling for between $50 and $60. So this is a book that we probably won't talk about later because it came out last week.
But I got it.
I read this, and this was really good.
I have it. I have it on my list for this week.
Okay. All right, so I guess we will talk about it then. But yeah.
I'm not beholden to what week it is, John.
I can see that.
I'm flying by the seat of my pants over here, buddy.
Breaking all the rules, man.
Breaking them all. Wait till next week, and I talk about books that we're talking about this week.
Yeah.
I didn't do my homework, but I have last week's.
The dog ate my comic. Can I talk about Geiger? I got the Cliff Notes.
I like that cover on Geiger though. The it's not 100% evident, but that skull in the explosion.
Oh, in the mushroom cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Yeah, so we talked about this a little while ago. Starlight, issue number one, based on the news that there's going to be a movie of this. And so the comic is, they say it's a sci-fi pulp comic. So whatever that means.
I saw that too.
This is selling for about $40 now. So again, a book that was probably less than $10 yesterday.
Yeah.
When the announcement for this was made. So it's jumped up quite a bit. So if you have that, great. Next is Lando, issue number 2. This is the Marvel comic series from 2015. This is the first appearance of Chenith Cha. Don't remember what Chenith Cha is, although I do remember reading this book. So.
Oh, really?
But, you know, Star Wars first appearances are going crazy. We've talked about a bunch of them over the last few weeks. So this one right now is just kind of at $10. It's just kind of like simmering below the surface, but this one's getting ready to jump up because the upcoming War of the Bounty Hunters storyline, which should be a pretty big series for Marvel, is confirmed to feature Chenith. So I would think this book will at least double, if not more than that, pretty quickly. So, and yeah, that Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters series is coming up. If you're not familiar with it, it kind of tells the story of like the missing story of how like Carbonite Han Solo gets from Bespin to hanging on Jabba's wall, and
right.
you know, all the stuff that goes along with that, because there was a huge bounty on his head, and even though Boba Fett had him, lots of other bounty hunters were trying to get in on the action there, it seems like. Kind of like I just watched this movie, Midnight Run. You remember Midnight Run with Robert De Niro and Martin, who you know, they keep trying to steal the bounty. That's kind of what I picture this to be, except, you know, without the comedy.
without the comedy.
Anyway, yeah. But yeah, anyway, that should be a good book coming up soon. So it'll be on FOC in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
All right, Captain America, issue 34. This is from the 2008 run. This is the first appearance of Bucky as Captain America. You can probably guess where this is coming from, but it's selling for about $30 right now. So
there's also Alex Ross variant I found, too, that I really like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's on YouTube. It'll
be on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, Captain America, it's drawn. It's red, white, and the flag motif running through it, but he kind of looks like he's like almost Silver Surfer like chrome. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to see the cover. It's really, really cool cover. Typical Alex Ross. But
all right. Yeah, I'll watch and look.
There you go. All right. You're one of the 10.
I am one of the 10. All right. Next is New Mutants issue 32. This is the first appearance of Madripoor. So I guess we're specking on locations now, as well as characters. Again, if you don't know why this is hot, see Falcon Winter Soldier. but yeah, this book is now selling for between $10 and $15. So, that's, I guess, cool.
If you're into that sort of thing.
If you're into that sort of thing. If you wanted to know where the first appearance of Madripoor was, now you know. Next is Jupiter's Legacy, issue number 1. Talked about that briefly a little while ago, too. But the Netflix show is getting ready to drop soon. So this book is now getting closer and closer to the $50 range. And I would think it would push over that as soon as the show drops on Netflix. And then last but not least, Avengers West Coast, issue 62. This is the first appearance of the Timekeepers. I'm thinking this has something to do with the Loki series and the Time Authority.
That's a good guess.
This is selling for between $15 and $25.
Cool.
And that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. And if you could come up with a sound for FOC, I'd be happy for that too. But John.
I'll keep my ear to the ground.
Yeah. Let's get into FOC.
All right. From Aftershock Comics, we have Silver City, issue number 1, with just one cover. Dark Horse Comics has House of Lost Horizons. This is issue number 1 of 5. This is based on the Hellboy universe, and there's one cover for that. From DC, we have variant covers for Batman the Detective number 2 by Andy Kubert, which is pretty cool.
That's a cool cover.
Yeah, I think my favorite cover is this one here, Joker number 3 by David Finch.
I like that cover
quite a bit.
That's the card, right? Looks like the Joker
card. That's the card, okay. Yeah, the playing
Woo-hoo,
card.
I got it right.
And you did.
I can't screw it up. Those ones I get right from your website.
I was going to say, it's right on Facebook.
I get it. I go right through your Facebook and boom. Yeah.
And then lastly, we have Superman issue 31 in Yuck Lee. It has a variant cover, which is also pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool cover, yeah.
Yeah. For new series, we have Future State Gotham issue number 1. There's 2 covers here. So I didn't know this was coming out either, but this is actually an ongoing monthly Future State title. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I didn't think Future State was going to have to continue like that. But and this is centered around, if you read any of Future State, which most of our listeners know you and I did not mm-hmm. read most of it. But there was that whole sub-storyline through all the Gotham-related
right.
books that had to do with you know, what's happening in Gotham with the vigilantes and all that. And this book focuses on that storyline, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. With it being an ongoing, I might have a little bit more investment in it. And
I like the cover, too. We'll
probably check it out. Yeah.
I really like that cover.
That's a red X on the cover.
Yeah.
Which I'd be interested in because I did read Teen Titans Academy a week or two ago, which had red X in it. And I am a little bit interested in some of what happened with that character. So might check this one out.
Cool.
And then another book I don't know anything about, really. Justice League Last Ride. Don't really know what this is, but there's 2 covers for this. But yeah, Chip Zdarsky is involved in this. So
ooh.
Yeah, I'm excited just because of that. So, all right, from Marvel, we didn't have any variant covers that were really available. But there are a couple of Heroes Reborn tie-ins. The first one is Hyperion and the Imperial Guard, number 1 with 2 covers. And then Peter Parker, The Amazing Shutterbug, issue number 1. This had 2 covers, neither of which had images, though. So,
people can't see that I've just scrolled to the next picture, and it's also coming soon.
Okay.
there's nothing. When it's the same
nothing
image,
there.
There's nothing there.
Yeah. And then... I think we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel on the X titles at this point, but we have X Corp number 1 with multiple covers. Like, you know, if you would have told me 2 years ago when House of X was going strong and we were so in love with House of X that I would be so bored and tired of the X universe by now, I wouldn't have believed you, but here we are. Like, I think they have really... they've undone all the goodwill they had with House of X, and this has not lived up to the promise of those series, I don't think. But all that being said, if you're interested in the corporations of Krakoa, this is the book for you. And there'll be multiple covers.
You can talk.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, it just keeps going. I was waiting for it to stop. But last but not least, from Black Mask Comics, we have White, issue number 1. And that is it for FOC.
Oh, okay. I got all caught up there.
Thanks, Darth.
Thanks, Darth.
Yeah. I guess that's our sounder for FOC.
No, that's our sounder for... You're not crazy about something. We did that one a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh,
we used to play that all the time when you went on a rant or I went on a rant or something.
Oh, okay. So. It's been a while since we've had a good rant. So
I know. Well, you know, we're getting older, John. We're mellowing out.
I'll get myself worked up soon so we can have a good one.
I know.
But yeah, that's it for FOC.
I had a couple. Oh, all right. Are you ready to get to check out?
Sure.
All right. John, what did you check out this week? What's that first one you checked out?
First book I read is from Image Comics. It was Jules Verne's Lighthouse, issue number one. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. This was written by David Hine and Brian Haberlin. It had art by Brian Haberlin and Gerard Van Dyke. So this is a futuristic take on some old Jules Verne stories. And it takes place in space. There's people living on a giant, I think it's like a way station, or like almost like a big toll booth is kind of what I got from reading this. But it's a giant point in space called the Lighthouse that's powered by a giant supercomputer. And there's people that are living there, and they're kind of responsible for the space travel that goes through the area of space where they are. And so there's, like I said, there's a pretty sparse crew of people that are on this lighthouse. It's like 3 humans and a robot, and that's it. But yeah, so the crux of it is that the lighthouse gets taken over by some space pirates. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're after something. We're not really quite sure what, because they don't say. But you find out that one of the people that are on there has a past, and it might have something to do with that, because they are interested in finding her alive, wherever she may be on the lighthouse.
Okay.
And this was pretty interesting, I thought, actually. This is a pretty big book. This was 48 pages, so for $4.99, it was kind of like the price. It was kind of 2 comics in one. but yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I found myself by the end of it kind of intrigued by what was going on, and interested to see where this thing was going to go. So I think it was pretty decent. The art I thought was really good. Mm. And like I said, I thought the writing on this was good. So
I took a look at it. I read the synopsis, and I was like, I think I had, I don't know.
It's not going to blow you away. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
I'll
it's
be
not,
honest. It, when I read the synopsis, I was like, oh, maybe John will have read it. And if he's blown away by it, I'll pick it up. Because I did like the artwork.
The art was really good.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not one of those books that, like, I'm not like just completely overwhelmed by it. Like, it didn't blow me away, but I liked it. Like, I'll definitely pick up and read issue 2 when it comes in.
All right.
And I think, again, you know, we don't judge comics based on kind of value for the money or what have you, but let's be fair.
No, you do though. Yeah.
Comics aren't cheap. And you know, when you're paying $7.99 for a DC book that's 20 pages. Yeah, exactly. you know, you get a book like this.
That wasn't a sounder. That was me.
I know. I know. I was waiting. You get a book like this for $5. That's 48 pages. It's pretty good value, you know. So again, if you're looking to get with your limited budget, you're looking to get more pages for your money, this one might be up your alley.
Cool.
But yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was good. I think you should check it out.
All right. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
All right. Next book, one we spoke about earlier, Geiger, number one, mm-hmm. from Image Comics, written by Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank. Yep. This was great. I really enjoyed it. Lots of post-apocalyptic fun, John.
Yeah, I know. I was still on board though. I liked it.
You were still on board. Okay, so if the post-apocalyptic fun didn't deter you, how about the murder of a pet?
Yeah.
What was that page 2?
Yeah, pretty early on.
Is the old going all John Wick on us? And yeah. I was like, oh, no, no. And then, oh, the graphic of it, him holding the dog after. I was like, yeah. That is, I couldn't stop looking at that frame, that panel. It was just, but anyways, I really like the art. I really like the story. Just the idea of a man, you know, out for his family type thing. And it kind of turned funky. Did you get that feeling? If I don't want to ruin it for anybody, because about 3/4 of the way in, it all of a sudden shifts and you're like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, it goes from,
but it comes back around. I just don't want to say, I don't want to give it away.
This is a comic, so I don't want to sound like a lot of things in comics are, far-fetched. But it kind of goes from like a kind of grounded in realism story in the beginning to really fanciful,
yeah.
You know, after that. And
but comes
you know,
back
that's,
around
that's
for
how,
it explains right, why, though.
Right. But again, and that's also how most, and this isn't a superhero book specifically, but that's how most superhero books are, right? Like, people get powers in crazy ways that would never be grounded in reality.
Right.
And, you know, something similar happens here. But, yeah, I enjoyed this book as well. Now, this is brought to you by the team that took 2.5 years to give you 12 issues of Doomsday Clock. So one thing I want to point out here is that there was a retailer discussion call with Geoff Johns, and 6 or 7 issues of this are already done and in the can. So this book is committed to being on time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
At least for the
6 or 7 issues, but that should give them both enough lead time to have future issues coming out. So,
cool.
You know, there's a really terrible track record, of Geoff Johns putting out books on time. So for anybody that's kind of skeptical because of that alone, which there are people that would be, we are assured that there's commitment to having these books out on time. So that makes a difference, because especially in a creator-owned series, that can be a killer of a title. You know, you read issue number 1 and you like it, and then you don't see issue 2 for 4 months. Like, who's kept their interest that long? You know,
right.
So.
Well, it's coming out May 12th, issue number 2. Yeah. They're saying that's what it said. I don't know if it's actually happening.
Yeah, no, and it should be on time.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, so, if you can find this book, because again, it's sold out in a lot of stores.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I grabbed
mine
it.
Mine came in damaged last week, so I didn't even have, well, not all of them, but a big chunk of mine came in damaged last week, so I didn't even have enough to fill my subscribers' copies last week. I didn't have any on the shelf, but I got my replacements in yesterday, and I somehow submitted the damage twice, and they somehow honored it twice. So I actually got twice as many copies as what was damaged, which worked out because I put them out on the rack, and I only have one left. So I sold a bunch of copies of this in one day.
Nice.
So yeah, I know it, like I said, it's selling out in a lot of places.
Cool. So. Yep. All right. The next book.
All right. The next book I read also came out today, and this was also from Image Comics, and this is called Home, issue number 1 of 5. This is written by Julio Anta, had art by Anna Weischek, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Weischek. Yep.
Cover art by Lisa Storley. Did you read this book by any chance?
Yes, I did. I read it this morning.
So this book is ripped straight from headlines of the last 4 years.
Yes.
This focuses on a mother and son who are making their way from Guatemala through Mexico, seeking asylum into the U.S. While they're making their trip, a new president is elected, based on somebody we know, and new laws were enacted saying that anybody basically trying to attempt to enter the United States was going to be detained.
John, I can't believe they painted Biden in this light.
I know. and separated from their families and, you know, put in cages and yada, yada, yada. We've all heard, you know, what's happened and all that. This book really got to me, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's heart-wrenching.
I didn't know where this was going while I was reading it, because there's definitely a twist at the end of this. I thought this book was, on the face of it, as I was reading it, kind of just what it was, you know. But it definitely turns into more of a superhero book towards the end, and kind of makes me wonder where it's going from there. And I did read the afterword by the author to get some of his insights on this. But yeah. Again, this is one of those books, like I said, it's definitely based in current events. It definitely has to do with, you know, people coming in trying to seek asylum or enter into the U.S. and what's kind of been happening there. So, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. As much as it was kind of,
well,
depressing,
as much as you could say, yeah, you say, enjoyed it. But,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know that I enjoyed it, but it's I was definitely into it. Like, I was engrossed in the story and, you know, really kind of felt for the characters here. And then, like I said, I got to the end, and without knowing ahead of time what was – again, I go back to, like, From Dusk Till Dawn, where you're watching half of that movie – and you think it's just a heist movie, and then all of a sudden it turns into a vampire movie.
Right.
And this turned into a superhero book at the end.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming. So I thought that was interesting.
An
interesting take on this. But yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I thought the art was a different style.
It felt like it was for kids.
It did, but it kind of felt like it was good with this story. Like, it felt appropriate to the story. Like, it definitely conveyed the emotion of these characters and, you know, the things they were going through. So I thought it was expressive. And, I thought it was good. But, yeah, it kind of looked like a children's book, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Although the themes were definitely not necessarily for a children's book, so.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. But again, I would recommend it. I think I think you should read it. I thought it was good. So
yeah, yep. All right. Next one I have is: did you read Phantom on the Scan?
No.
Okay. This one's written by Cullen Bunn, art by Mark Torres. Okay. It was interesting, but it's not something I'm like super into. It's about like psychics and stuff. So this guy has like psychic abilities, or he thinks, he's not sure. They kind of explain why there's I felt a little tie in there. I don't want to give it away, but I kind of, when I was younger, I was writing a story, as an adult, I was writing a story similar to this, the beginning of it anyways. And I was like, oh, this is eerily similar. And then it went in a completely different direction. So. Wasn't okay. Similar at all at the, but then the story kind of went, and I don't mean to go all John on everybody, but it went a little too convenient. Like it ramped up really fast. The story, like, it made a big jump. He has these psychic powers. This isn't really a spoiler. And he goes to see his psychologist. And there, a couple of things were said, and one, he was there and it wasn't his normally scheduled meeting. And they're like, oh, I'm not supposed to see you for like a month. I was like,
right.
Who sees a psychologist just once a month if you're that bad off? But then it's like the psychologist or psychiatrist gives up all this information, and I won't give it away, but like bang. But this guy has had these powers for years. And then now the psychiatrist gives up all the info, and that's where I'm like, but there was, I don't know. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. But it had a really good horror vibe to it, especially by the end. So I guess if you like horror and psychic stuff, you'll probably love this book. I just was like, I'm always skeptical about psychics anyways, but.
Well, yeah.
I think Jenna'll like it, my wife. She loves horror and she loves psychics, so.
Right. Right up her alley.
Yeah, yeah. So, and another book I read today, did you read Batman Detective number one today?
No.
Oh.
I didn't.
Do you plan on it?
I will, yes. I just haven't.
Okay. It's, eh.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, it's.
I'm suffering from a little Batman fatigue right now. There's a lot of Batman on the stands, you know. I did
There
read
has
Batman,
been, though, and it's usually Urban really Legends. Good.
I did read Urban Legends number two. Well, okay. I read the first story of that because that's all I read from issue one. Like, I was really only interested in the Batman story. I didn't read the other backup stories in there. But the first story is the one written by Chip Zdarsky, and it's been pretty decent. You know, it's a Red Hood Batman story.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So it's that's okay. But I will, yeah, I'll get to the Batman the Detective eventually, even though it sounds like you didn't think it was that great.
No, it's like, I felt like the art, like they were going for like almost like an Affleck look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even like the, he has the glasses, and especially in the image on YouTube, he has those glasses from BVS on his head,
right.
On his cowl. And the art was so-so, but it's like it had a decent ending, but I don't know. Story was just, it's not as grounded as I would have liked for a Batman detective story, you know? And it for a mystery too. It's like, I like my Batman mysteries, like a detective story, to be a good, like Hush or Long Halloween. Those are good mystery stories that like you're in it and you can't wait to find out. This one, it just didn't, it was just, it just didn't pull me along and make me be like, oh, this is great. It's, I mean, it had a couple of chuckle moments in it, but
right.
And the next one. Oh, did you read The Silver Coin last week?
No.
Oh,
I didn't.
The Silver Coin, The Ticket, The Silver Coin, The Ticket by, this one was by Zdarsky. Yeah. And this is The Silver Coin is, it's going to be, it's an anthology series, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this particular story, really good. Really good. It's like, basically it's a story about compromises. Like, well, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Like, well, it's not my money, but if nobody says anything, nobody's missing, you know, the compromises we make. And it's like, it's the artist here, the guy in the story is a musician, and for him to make it, it seems like it's taken place in the 70s, and for him to make it, he wants to play rock and roll, but they're like, oh, we want to hire you for disco, and he's like, I hate disco, but that's the only way you can make it, and the coin is actually helping him, and they're like, it's a crazy story, very, like, scary, and even though it's an anthology, so, like, none of this is going to, the coin goes on to the next story.
Right.
I can't wait to see what they do with the coin in the next story, because it has these powers or whatever. And it was really good.
I wanted to read it. I didn't get to a lot of books last week, 'cause like, you know, we were busy there at the house. But it's definitely on my list of books to check out. 'Cause, you know, again, Zdarsky is one of my favorite writers right now because of Daredevil.
Yeah. And that's the one I didn't get to today.
I didn't get to that either.
I saved that and Joker, because I'm like, I read all my reading this morning, and I'm like, oh, Joker. I was like, I'll save these for later when I get home, and I'm like, oh, this will be great. And then I forgot. I was like,
I didn't get
the two I was looking forward to the most.
Really, all I read today was the two that we talked about. I did finish King in Black yesterday, though.
Oh, okay.
Issue 5 came out, so I read that in the latest issue of Venom. I read both of those yesterday. They came out last week. King in Black was pretty good, actually. I enjoyed it. Interested to see. You know, again, I'm not a big Venom guy. Like, he's not one of my favorite characters, but I'm kind of interested. Like, he's in a different place now that the series is over. So I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen with him going forward. Because I've been reading this run of Venom just because it's Donny Cates and it was all tied in with the other things that he's done. But I haven't really been a Venom. Like, I didn't read any of the other Venom series, and may not even read the next one, depending on what they do. But I'm kind of interested to see what happens in the aftermath of this book. So
cool.
Yeah.
One other book I wanted to mention was Carmen number 2.
Oh yeah, I didn't get to that either.
That's good. Still loving it. Yeah. Still loving it.
I liked the first one, so definitely going to check that out.
It's just that the whole, like, philosophical stuff in this book, right. It's like the beginning of it, I don't want to say it's a little slow. It's a little bit redundant in the beginning, but you're enjoying it. And there's a couple of things. They still make the same jokes about movies and stuff. Like I can't remember the name of that movie, but you know what movie they're talking about, of course.
Right.
And they had a line in here that, and I love the philosophical. I love that and, like, psychology and why people do what they do. And it's like, that's been a fascination of mine. And it feels like Gilliam March is the same way. Because, like, the little nods that he puts into this story, it's like he had a line in here that was like, they didn't say if a tree falls in a woods, you know, that if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a noise? Well, he has a...
If a bear craps in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it stick to your fur?
Yeah.
No? So the bear wiped his...
bear wiped his butt with it.
You know where that's from?
Well, I know it's a joke. I don't know where it originated, but...
Oh, that was... I don't know if it originated with him, but that's the joke Eddie Murphy told in...
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Delirious, there was a little kid in the audience, and he goes,
yeah,
everybody is going to go home and F up my jokes, but here's one, and there was a kid there, so he goes, you could tell this one at school, and he goes, right. So he told that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he had a line, they're having a conversation in the book, and it's like, people, like, the reason we're alive, what makes us alive is interaction with other people, because if you're not interacting with other people, you're not alive. And when I read that, I was like, it stuck with me all day. Cause I'm like, it's so true. Cause it's like, if that means you didn't even exist, because if you're not interacting with people and when you do die someday, nobody's going to miss you. So did you ever even live? Whatever, you know? And it was awesome to read that, but it's like, that's kind of what this story is. It's pretty much what this story is about. And I really, really enjoyed it. Still enjoying it.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. Can we,
well,
get
no,
to
I'm just saying, yeah, no, I'm just saying, good.
I want to get to a new sounder, Deej.
I want to keep reading that story.
Yeah, it is good.
That's all I meant.
It is good. I know. Yeah. I know. All right. I'll just go through this straight lace now. Okay, John, you ready to get to real world now? All right. Are you ready to get to real world?
Sure.
All righty. And we have a new graphic for this one, too.
We do, yeah.
And I sent that one to you. I was proud of that one.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. All right. What did you watch this week, John? Or these past couple of weeks?
Yeah, really just a lot of Animal Kingdom.
That just sounds wicked funny. Like, you're just stuck on the couch. Polar bears.
Oh, no, it's the show. It's the name of the show. But
lions.
It was 4 seasons, I think 52 episodes total, and we've got 5 left, I think, which we'll finish probably tomorrow. So that's really what we watched almost exclusively for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
did watch Sunday night. I watched The Nevers, which is the new series on HBO Max, the Joss Whedon series, which I'm trying to, I had a little bit of a difficulty, to be honest with you, separating the art from the artist as I was watching this, because, you know, Joss Whedon has, I guess, proven himself now to be a pretty despicable human being. And knowing that this was written, directed, produced, you know, and it's all there in the credits. Written by Joss Whedon, produced by Joss Whedon, directed by Joss
Whedon.
But all that being said, I don't actually know how I feel about this show. Like, the first episode, and there's only six in the season, so this is going to go pretty fast. It was interesting. It's an interesting premise. It takes place in... Did you watch it?
What's that? Animal Kingdom?
The Nevers.
Oh, the Nevers? No, no.
Okay. Takes place in like the 1800s, right around the turn of the century. And there's basically aliens. They see a spaceship as going by the planet. And it's releasing some kind of gas or dust or whatever. We don't know what it is. And it ends up affecting probably somewhere around 10% of the female population. And they basically become mutants. You know, they all develop a different kind of ability. And they call themselves the Touched. And they are kind of trying to find each other and gather together. And the other people who are not the Touched. It's very X-Men-esque in a way. There's some prejudice against them because of this. But it doesn't seem to be a secret. Like, they don't make a secret about the fact that they have these abilities. It's right there in the open. And you're like anybody that gets abilities. You know, it doesn't make you inherently a good person or a bad person. You are what you were. And so there's good people and bad people. So there's bad people with abilities out there doing things. And there's the good people that are trying to stop them. And that's kind of what this is. So, I don't know. Like I said, taking the Joss Whedon out of it, I still don't know that I really liked it all that much, but it was interesting. So I'm definitely going to watch at least the second episode and see where it goes. And by then, there's only six, so I'm a third of the way in it. I'll probably just stick with it and watch all of it. Unless I just really end up not liking it after the second episode, and then I'll stop watching it. But
right. Speaking of the Joss Whedon stuff, Dr. Joe and I actually got to talk to Dr. Joe last week. We ran into each other at the comic book store, not by accident. We actually was like, I'm going, are you going? Okay. And we met there, which was nice because you and I weren't recording. And, you know, so I actually got a comic book conversation in an actual comic book store.
Nice.
But one of the conversations we had was about an artist who... they're going through some trying times right now, similar to Joss Whedon.
Okay.
And that's one of the things I said. I was like, you know, it's not that I don't, I mean, I don't want to say that it's okay when people do things, whatever they're doing, whatever Joss Whedon did, whatever anybody else does, whatever like Mel Gibson did or any of the people.
Right.
It's like, but if we start going through and it's like, I mean, how many movies did Harvey Weinstein have his hands in?
Well, right.
Now, do we stop watching them? Do we stop paying attention to them?
Yeah.
I mean, went back
100
years, 200 years, and threw social media in, do you know how many artists there would have survived? It's like,
oh yeah, well,
people are despicable. And
we're canceling Dr. Seuss books because
it's,
of,
yeah.
So I mean, it's tough because that's what I said. Like, I'm watching this show and I'm trying to watch it based on the merits of the show.
Yeah.
But the whole time I have it in my head that I think Joss Whedon's a piece of crap. So, but like you said, Mel Gibson is also a piece of crap. But I really like a lot of Mel Gibson movies.
Yeah.
You know.
But now is he a piece? He's had bad days. I mean,
we've all had bad days, but we don't go on racist tirades, you know.
I don't think he was in his right mind either, but yeah, no, well, I know.
But that just would amplify what you truly think, right?
Right,
so,
right, true. But yeah, so, it's
But yeah, how do you separate the art from the artist? You know, like you said, they were talking about it yesterday, again, on the Ralph Report, which we ought to get sponsored. We should get kickbacks from the Ralph Report as much as we talk about it. Yeah. But he was talking about
Thomas
Jefferson.
I don't think everybody signed up because of us.
You know, he was talking about Thomas Jefferson yesterday on the show.
Right.
And again, Thomas Jefferson did a lot of great things for this country, but he was also a slave owner, which is despicable. So,
but it's also what everybody did then.
Exactly. It's, you know, you can't
put today's standards on 300 years ago.
Right. It's hard, but you also don't want to glamorize or glorify whatever.
Well, no, but nobody's ever liked Thomas Jefferson because he owned slaves.
Right. But that's my point.
Like, wow, he's awesome.
But there's a segment of people today that want us to stop talking about Thomas Jefferson. They want us to, you know, erase everything that ever had anything to do with him and every founding father because they were slave owners. But you can't undo the founding fathers, you know what I mean? But, you know, it goes all the way up to today, right? And again, how many times do we hear people, they talk about Mark Twain. Mark Twain was a huge racist or whatever, but he wrote some of the, you know, great American novels. So where do you draw the line? So I don't know, but it did strike me as I was watching this show to get back to the Nevers that I had a hard time getting into it because it's so recent and like he's in the news now and, you know, it's kind of top of mind.
Ignorance is bliss, John.
But, you know, again, I still will watch – I just watched Braveheart. Like, I'll still watch a Mel Gibson movie and enjoy it. But I haven't watched a Kevin Spacey movie in a long time. And I like a lot of Kevin Spacey movies,
too. I love Kevin Spacey.
But
– his movies, I mean.
right, exactly. But, you know, but for some reason, I haven't watched any of his movies in a while because of the stigma around him. So it's hard to say. I can't say I'm never going to watch Seven or The Usual Suspects ever again, but – I haven't in a long time. So I don't know. I guess it's everybody's personal choice on what bothers them and what doesn't. But
yeah, I've known a lot of, well, not a lot of people, but I've known people that they're not the nicest people, but they do some really good stuff.
Right.
And it's like, but you can't, the person as a whole, take the good and you take the bad. You take the most.
Take the whole thing you have. The facts of life.
I don't have a sounder for that. Oh no!
Drop it in post.
no, that's why I don't want to.
Mrs.
It makes
Garrett.
My life easier.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
But anyway, to get back to Animal Kingdom, definitely watch it.
Okay.
Definitely watch it. It is fantastic. Like we've been riveted by that. Like that's why we're just going through it because it's really, really great. Really great show.
So I got a few for you here. We'll get to, do you got time for Kryptonite tonight? We'll do our Godzilla versus
Kong. I didn't
even
bring it up. That's why. Obviously I watched Invincible and Winter Soldier, but I didn't bring them up because.
Well, we'll do Winter Soldier in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Quickly. But Godzilla versus Kong, we haven't talked about that yet.
I haven't seen it.
And we've gotten requests. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
You haven't had a chance. Can't watch it. Lydia doesn't want to see it. And I haven't really had time to watch it. Oh, I thought it was going to be Darth Vader again.
Nope. All right. Well, we have to talk about that one next
week. I need to watch
it
before it goes away.
Yeah, you gotta. We've multiple requests on our opinions on that.
Well,
so we'll have to do that one next week.
I've been wanting to see it. I just haven't been able to because it's not one of those movies where I want to watch it through my earbuds at 2 o'clock in the morning. I want to be able to watch it and crank it and You know, we've been together. We've been home together doing the work at the house. So
right.
Yeah, I just haven't had a chance to watch it.
Well, if you've got a few hours, you could sneak away and come here.
Yeah, I'll be fly right over.
Oh, that's so disappointing. I was so looking forward to talking about that. All right, we'll talk about Invincible then and Kryptonite. And I got another one for you. Did you know? Did you see the Mask, or not the Mask? Mask is on Amazon Prime, the cartoon.
No,
from when we were kids.
Oh, the cartoon. No, no.
Yeah,
Magic Mask. Well, I didn't even know what that is.
Yeah,
but yeah, the cartoon. No, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes of that, and I'm, I was just like, oh, man. I think that – wasn't that on, like, after school?
I don't even know if that was in our age group. Like, isn't that
– Oh, no.
Were we too old for that?
Yeah, we were in high school.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't think I even really
I still came
that.
Home from high school and watched – I mean, I don't care if I – that's why I had a car, so I could get home quicker. Yeah. Watch cartoons.
I mean, I watched He-Man and Batman the Animated Series, but I didn't watch – I don't really – I didn't watch a ton of Mask, but –
Well, Batman, I mean, the Animated Series was when we were 20s.
Yeah, I was in my 20s, yeah. Well, I'm watching Invincible in my 50s, so.
Right. But to be fair, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in spoilers. So one other movie. Have you seen Monster Hunter?
No. Is it out already?
4K.
Like, I knew it was on demand. Yeah. Oh, okay. But is it somewhere where I can watch it without paying for it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's on, I don't think it's streaming yet.
No. Okay. Watching that and really enjoying that. I'm in the middle of my review for that one for this week. And also, this is funny. This is, have you seen the sound guy, Kevin James, on YouTube? It's not a show. It's just he takes movies. So
Kevin James, like the actor?
Kevin James, the actor, yeah.
Okay.
So he takes King of Queens. So he takes movies and he edits himself in doing the sound guy, like with the boom, like the boom mic. And the one I saw today was he was doing Rocky from the scene when he's talking to his son on the sidewalk. And what was that, Rocky 5 or whatever? And he's
Rocky,
like,
it's 4?
So no, five, 4 was in Russia.
Oh yeah.
So I think it was the 5 or 6 or whatever. But anyways, but he's on the sidewalk and he's like, you know, Stallone's giving his speech. He goes, it's not how hard you get hit. It's how, you know, and you get back up, right? Well, he's doing this whole speech talking to his son and but they're playing the clip. You can hear the audio. It's edited perfectly. You can hear the audio, but they're showing Kevin James and he's holding the mic. And then they'll go to the scene, they'll show Rocky, and then they'll come back and they'll show Kevin James. But the scene starts to get emotional and Kevin James starts to like cry. Oh, and he starts shaking. But then he has to wipe his eyes and the boom slips in. And they go to Rocky. You see the mic come down. Oh, they edit it in. It was really good. But I guess there's a bunch of them. That's the only one I saw.
I'll have to look at it. I've never seen it.
Go on YouTube and just look Sound Guy Kevin James. There's a bunch of them, but I saw that one. It was really good. It's funny. All right. That's all I got then. We'll do Invincible when we get to Kryptonite, and we can do a little bit of Falcon Winter Soldier.
All right.
Isn't that nice? Now you get to hear it.
I know.
Before, I don't even want to get into what I used to have to do. All right, what did you think of this week?
Spoiler-free. The last 2 weeks, really.
Yeah.
Since we didn't talk about last week's. But this week was like kind of the big one, right? It was great. Really liking this show. Not that I didn't think I was going to like it, because... I mean, I figured it would be good, but I like it more than I thought I was going to.
Really?
I think, yeah, it's been really good.
So we could talk about that here in the spoilers, but I'm getting a little bit of the what we talked about with WandaVision. I'm getting a little bit of the letdown because I'm really enjoying the show when I'm watching it, but I really miss the looking forward to it part.
Yeah, but we knew that was going to happen. So
doesn't make it any less painful, John.
I guess. But
you know what I mean? It's like...
But we knew it wasn't going to be that kind of show. You know what I mean? It's definitely, again, it's not WandaVision.
Right.
I think WandaVision was something different in a little bit unique in the sense that it had such a, I guess, a mystery that we were trying to figure out, where this isn't that. It's just,
right,
this is a show of the week. You know, every week it's an adventure. There's a lot of punching. There's a lot of stuff going on, but not a lot of deep conversation that needs to be had around it. So I definitely agree with you that, you know, it's not as much fun between episodes.
Right.
But the episodes themselves, I've really liked.
Yes.
I don't know if you got a chance to see, like, the 60-minute Zemo cut that Disney put out.
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Disney put out a 60-minute loop of Baron Zemo dancing from episode 3.
Oh, really?
In Madripoor. Yeah, because there was a bunch of people on social media that were, like, hashtagging release the Zemo cut. And Disney actually did. Like, they put it together. They put it together on a 60-minute loop and just put it out there. So, like, say what you want about Disney, but that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's great publicity, though.
But there's just, I mean, I haven't watched.
Where is it? Is it on Disney Plus or on YouTube?
I think it's on YouTube.
It would be funny if they released it as an extra. They could have put it as an extra, though, on Disney Plus.
Yeah, just search the Zemo cut and it'll come up. But it's just the loop of the, it's like 1 minute or less of the show just looped 60 times. But I just thought it was great of Disney to do that.
Yeah,
poking a little fun at HBO Max, I guess. So,
but yeah, so I, but like when we're in the show, I really like, I'm riveted, and to the point that you lose track of time. You're, when the show ends, you're like, oh, it's over. Like, you know, like some shows, they get a little slow or something, and you're like, oh, right, are they going to wrap this up? You have time to actually think about the time. This, it, you really don't, because it's fairly thought provoking as you're going along. But once it's over, you're like, oh, okay. Like you said, there's no, to the, like, Joe and I used to watch WandaVision in the morning before we'd go to work. And if he wasn't around, I would still watch it. But with Falcon, I'm like, Falcon Winter Soldier, I'm like,
you can just wait.
I'll wait. Yeah. If he's not around, I'll wait until he comes home and we wait.
Yeah,
you know.
And even like if I didn't catch WandaVision, because there was 1 week, I think, where I wasn't able to watch it until like a Sunday. And I had to like stay away from social media and tell customers in the store not to talk about it. It hasn't really been that way with this. Like if you miss it, it's not that big of a deal. Like, there's not a bunch of spoilers out there, and because there's not really anything to spoil.
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't feel quite as bad if I don't get to watch it right away. Although I mean, I have seen them all basically on Friday, anyways. But even the next day when I'm scrolling through social media, I don't see a bunch of things.
I think last week's Joe and I watched Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw one headline on social media. I'll talk about it in a spoiler. I'm sure everybody has seen it already, but I'll talk about it. I'll wait. Why not? We'll wait till spoilers. But, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was, I think it's great. It's, and like I said, it's like, I love the show when I get there. I love Fridays. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, Falcon Winter Soldier today. Yeah. But I'm not all week going, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait.
Oh,
for
yeah. You know, I'll be honest with you. That's true, because this last episode, I didn't watch until Saturday because I forgot it was on.
You see what I mean, though? It's such a great show, but it's...
That never happened with WandaVision.
No, but here's the thing. Yeah. I don't think that's an indictment on Falcon Winter Soldier.
No, it's
not. I think that's what... That's that letdown from WandaVision, because we're so talked out. We're so House of X out, you know, WandaVision, where it's like, it was so, I mean, that was just so intense with like the conversations you had. And we said it all throughout WandaVision that if you're not watching this and you're waiting to binge, you're missing out on the greatest part of WandaVision. And I really feel like Falcon, I think I heard or saw somebody say this, Falcon Winter Soldier is literally just a movie divided up.
It is.
You know what I mean? It really, it's well done. It's, you know, it's, the production is great. It's got the black bars at the top and the bottom. But like I said, it's, I feel like I'm putting it down, but it's really not. It's just, that's how. All right. Let me ask you this. To be honest, which do you like better though? If you had to sit down and watch the shows again, which show do you think so far is more rewatchable? Falcon Winter Soldier or WandaVision?
WandaVision for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved WandaVision.
I did too, but I actually watched it multiple times already. So maybe has something to do with it.
Yeah. I only watched every episode once. So I don't.
And they're both about the same amount of time.
Well, yeah, by the end.
Because one's six episodes, one's nine.
Right.
So it would take you about the same amount of time to do it.
Yeah.
Right now, for me, Falcon Winter Soldier is a little more rewatchable because I think it's mostly because I didn't like WandaVision. I literally watched three times already, at least three times already the entire season, because I watched it once. Then I'd watch it again that day, either with Joe, by myself. But then Jen and I started it again, and she got caught up. And so I basically watched the whole thing three times.
Yeah. So. See, and I didn't. I saw it once. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think. I mean, it's hard. I mean, this is, you know, again, this has been a good show, too. And again, just. Depends on my mood, I guess, right? Like, if I just want to sit down and watch a bubblegum movie, it's Falcon and Winter Soldier. You know what I mean? I can't say if I would enjoy WandaVision as much a second time through because I know everything now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know for sure, honestly, if I'm – I might be answering wrong, to tell you the truth. Because taking away all the mystery of WandaVision and just watching it through a second time
– right.
Because even when you watched it three times, you didn't know the whole thing each time. You know
the
what
second
I mean?
Time with Jen, I knew most of the stuff. Like the last, I think, two or three episodes, I probably only saw twice. But like watching it back through with Jen, there is a lot of stuff in WandaVision that you're really going to enjoy the second time because you're going to see stuff that...
Right.
And that's the other thing. I didn't know the outcome, so I was still guessing at a bunch of stuff. Remember, I was like, well, this could happen because she didn't do this and that. So you'll know the outcome, so maybe you'll see even more now. But I think the same could be said for Falcon Winter Soldier, too. I think by the end of it, if you go back and watch it, I think you'll be – there's just as much intrigue. Probably.
Well, it could be, but again, it's just like watching Endgame a second time, you know what I mean? It's still good, but you know, you've seen it all, you know, and Falcon Winter Soldier will be the same way. Whereas WandaVision, most of what made that great was the 6 days in between, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh yeah.
So I'm not sure, you know, again, if I sat down and watched them both again, I may be wrong and maybe maybe I wouldn't like it.
But, yeah.
But as I, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I really like Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen. I think their chemistry is fantastic and I think she's great, you know, and
yeah,
she's cute. So, there is that.
Yeah. Would you say a couple weeks ago, she's a cute chick?
Yeah. Was it her I was talking about?
No, you weren't talking about her, but is that, I think that's what you said, chick, right? Didn't you? Something
I said
like that.
Chick. Yeah.
Were you back in high school?
I must be.
All right. Is that it for that? And then, that's all we got on that. A little Invincible spoiler free. Do you want to do that? We'll just do that. It's great. We'll do that in Kryptonite. All right. Well, that'll wrap up this part of the show. And we're going to talk more Falcon Winter Soldier, more Invincible in Kryptonite once the door is locked and everything. So we'll get to that. All right. That it, John?
I think so.
All right. Thanks for listening. You can find us at brightside_chat, or you can tweet at John directly at Arkham Comics with an X, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat. Why am I giving this out? We're doing a show. Nobody contacts us when we do a show.
Yeah.
In case we're not next week, you can email us.
It's only when we don't do it.
You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Hey, and go to Nerdy Legion and check out all the great podcasts there, like that Home Theater one. Or the Nerdy Legion podcast that comes out sporadically, bi-monthly, I think it is, something like that. I'm talking to you, Martin.
Yeah, he's throwing some digs out there, man.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
I think so.
All righty. Have a great week, everybody. If you don't stick around for Kryptonite, we'll see you next week.
Autobots, roll out.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is the door locked?
The door is locked. Yes.
Nice.
As you just heard.
You like that, huh?
I do.
You like being part of the show now.
Yeah.
Being part of the whole show. Oh, if I could just share the images with you, too, at the same time. We haven't gotten that sophisticated yet.
You could text them to me, I guess, as we go through, but I've already seen them.
I know. So. You're most of them, you're the one telling me about them.
Yeah.
So, I know. Just, here, scroll through. Actually, I could send you a packet. Nah, that's too much work, John.
Yeah. Well, and I'm probably not going to look at it anyway. So let's be fair.
Great.
Just being honest, but
just being honest.
If you send me a package of all the pictures that I've already seen, I'm probably not going through it. So
here's a. Are you one of those kids on Christmas morning when you were a kid, like you'd already seen everything, you'd already looked and like snooped?
Oh no!
And so like you got up on Christmas morning, we're like, yeah, I'm good. Where are the cinnamon buns? I don't need to unwrap it.
There were some times where I knew. Yeah. Ahead of time, some of the, you know, because I'd stumbled across them. But no, I didn't go out of my way to try to find out all my gifts ahead of time. So
I had the worst experience with that when I was a kid. Now, I had a car. I was so excited for Christmas. I asked for one thing from my parents. All I wanted for Christmas was.
You two front teeth?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they got me. One.
Yeah.
No, I wanted a Pioneer stereo for my car, right? Because that's what you put in a Chevette. So I'm like, I needed to upgrade the AM stereo that my dad had in the car that it came with a push button that, you know. So I wanted a Pioneer stereo, and I go, it like a month before Christmas, I'm snooping around their room and I find it, and there it is. The exact one that I wanted.
Right.
The next month, I could not wait. I was like looking at my dash and I'm like getting ready to put it in. Christmas morning, I'm looking at all the presents and I'm like, this weird.
Where
the
is
box
it?
Doesn't seem like it's there. And then there's this last box. I'm like, it's bigger. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I unwrap it and I was like, in my head, now, how do you do this? Because you can't tell them, what the hell? Where'd it go? Right. They returned it and bought the Krako.
Oh, okay.
They bought a Krako, which is crap.
Right.
Right? And they like, it was cheaper and it came with speakers too.
Right. Thinking they did a great thing.
Yeah.
Look at all this extra stuff you're getting.
Like, oh God. Why don't you throw in a bag of marshmallows too? It's about how valuable that stereo was. I was like, I couldn't say anything. I was like, thanks. Oh no.
Right.
For a month I was like, oh, I can't wait to get that. And then they did the old switcheroo. But that's if I hadn't been snooping, I would have been excited. I would have been like, oh, all right, cool. I got speakers too. But They had it in their hands. They had it in their room. All right. What do you want to get to first? Kryptonite.
All right. I'm easy either way. So Falcon Winter Soldier, I guess.
Sure. What do you want to lead off with?
I guess this last episode, right? We had the big ending with Captain America there.
That was the one I got. I didn't get a mild spoil. I guess it was a mild spoiler, really, because I read a headline that, or a meme or something, that he's like, wow, he's awful, or he, you know, oh, you really hate him now. And I'm like, so it just makes, you already did hate him. And
right.
They did such a great job at, I hate to say it, of casting him. Like, he's doing a great job of making you hate him, that actor, because, like, you hate that guy.
Right.
The playing the part. Like, I don't even ever want to see him in anything else. like
you know,
he's despicable,
he is,
right? All the way through. Who is he? He looks wicked familiar.
He's Wyatt Russell is Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know it prior to the show coming out, but I found that out after the fact. But now when I see him, I see Kurt Russell like a couple times this episode where he was making different facial expressions. He looked just like him. And I was like,
now I'll be
I
looking for it.
Yeah, I see it now.
Yeah.
And it's funny that they're both in the MCU because he's Ego.
John, let's be honest. Who isn't in the MCU?
Well, that's true.
By now, we're up to how many movies?
Anybody who's anybody.
Right. I think you and I are in there somewhere.
Which we didn't even talk about this. I guess we skipped over it last week maybe, but...
we skipped over everything last week, John.
what's his name? Russell Crowe is cast in Thor, Love and Thunder, so...
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's cast Love and Thunder, so even he's coming to the MCU, so... Yeah, pretty much everybody at this point.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I didn't see that. But yeah, everybody's in the MCU. But anyways, getting it, like, he's playing that role, and they're writing the role so perfectly that he is just so dislikable, so hateable, despised. And you just, at every turn, and they even do a good job of making you feel like, you can see he's trying to do the right thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like
when he went to get with the serum,
right?
And you're like, he actually thought about it.
Yeah,
you know,
he's ultimately not the best dude, but he's a war hero, right? Like he wants to be a good guy. Like I don't think he's actively trying to be. Like he's not a villain. You know what I mean? But he's also not the best.
Doesn't he eventually become a villain? If I remember
I don't
right.
know. Like I thought,
no,
he
I
did.
Mean in the comics, I thought
no,
he did.
I thought he did, but then I was talking to one of my customers today who said no. And I'll be honest with you, I never really read any of those runs of Captain America, so I don't know what happens. I know U.S. Agent in the comics does go a little crazy from the serum, and so I think that seems to be the path they're leading him down in this show. Where he's kind of going, you know, the serum is changing him. Because, you know, when you first meet him in, well, I'll say episode 2, because episode 1 is just the ending. But, you know, when you see him in the locker room.
Hated him then.
Right. But in episode 2, when you see him in the locker room and he's doing all the stuff, you know, with the interviews and all that. You know, he seems like a genuine guy. He's a decorated war hero and... you think he's trying to be Captain America and trying to do the right thing, but the serum is twisting him a little bit. And then, you know, obviously you get to the ending of this episode where he kills one of the Flag Smashers or whatever they're called. And, you know, he's kind of lost it and he's not necessarily a good dude, but to me, the image of him standing there with that shield covered in blood is just so like, anti-Captain America. Like, it's so against what that shield represents. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought it was pretty striking image to see that. Which again, you know, obviously they're not stupid. They've done that all intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, then none of that is by mistake, but,
no, and that's just it. It's like they did such a great job of his progressing his story in a way that, I mean, obviously in episode one, you hated him right away.
Right.
You know, just because he had the shield, you know, you're like, right. No, even the way he got it, what they did to Sam, it just, the whole entire thing was like bad and you didn't like that. But then I think the story with the serum is everything we get back to in Captain America, the First Avenger. And when, what's the doctor's name there? What he said, like, you know,
Stanley Tucci is the,
Stanley Tucci was the part, but playing the part. But he was like, you wanted somebody pure inside, somebody with a good heart, because the serum is going to amplify everything.
Right.
And it just, obviously, that's why Steve Rogers turned out to be the hero that he was. And I feel like he's trying to be that hero, but it's just not him. And it's like, you know.
Well, and he's a little... you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Like, he's trying to, he's got something to prove, because he's trying to prove that he's worthy of having, you know, of being Captain America or U.S. agent, you know, whatever. I guess at this point, they're still calling him Captain America. But, you know, he's definitely got that chip on his shoulder. And, you know, you've got Bucky and Sam who are kind of, like, bucking against him. They're at odds with him, and he's not used to that, right? Like, he's been in battle, you know, he's been in the military where people form in line and everybody is, you know, kind of working together towards the same thing. And here's these two groups that are trying to do the same thing, but coming at it from completely different ways. And he's very resentful of Bucky and Sam because they're not falling in line with him.
Well, but Bucky and Sam are resentful of him because it's not Steve.
And again,
so you have
resentful
that
of him too.
And
but I almost feel like, you know, Bucky has some ground there because he didn't give the shield away. But Sam almost like he has no leg to stand on, you know, because he gave it up, you know, he had the opportunity and gave it up. So he can't necessarily now find himself jealous or saying, well, you're not Steve. He had a chance to be Steve. You know what I mean? Like he had a chance to be it and didn't want it. So Bucky, on the other hand, you know, didn't have that chance. So I almost feel like he has a little bit more right to be upset than Sam does. So, what else? Oh, I was going to say something. Oh, what's her name? Io from the Dora Milaje had like the best line in the whole series. You know,
what was that?
But she goes, the Dora Milaje have jurisdiction wherever the Dora Milaje to be. I was like, that is
that
great.
Was awesome. Yeah.
And then the second best line is, U.S. agent going, they don't even have superpowers after they kicked his butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Know it's, but I think that line was meant for like, that's what drove him to take the serum.
Right.
He's like, I've got this training. I've, you know, I think he already was a quote advanced human. Like you see some of the stuff earlier where like the workouts he was doing that they showed earlier with the shield and doing all the.
Well, I thought that was, to me, that was after he got the serum. I thought
that was early on in the show.
Right. But it was his, it was showing him after he had been enhanced by the government.
Yeah, but not with that serum that he just took now, that he just took, that he found on the floor. Remember, he kept one.
Right, but that's not the first time he's already been given Soldier serum.
Yeah, but he wasn't saying he was. That there's like as far as
I thought it was just implied because I mean he had super strength. He had, yeah, he was already basically super, you know, Captain America.
Yeah, but he, I don't think he wasn't enhanced like Steve Rogers was. I think he was mildly enhanced, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. No, I thought he thought he was. No. I thought he had been given, because he was standing toe-to-toe with Bucky and jumping onto trains and doing all kinds of stuff. And like, well, normal people can't do that stuff.
No, he didn't like – the line – Paraline or whatever you do onto the train, but it's not like he did. The only real super soldier was Bucky, other than the people they're against.
Oh, I don't know. I guess we're watching different shows because
nobody could run like Bucky could. Bucky could, you know.
I don't know, and maybe I'm just dumb then, because again, when I saw all that stuff with the shield and the workouts and all that stuff,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
in my mind, he was given the super soldier serum before they made him Captain America.
No,
that was part of him becoming Captain America.
No, like, he was just a normal. They even have a conversation in there that he's just like he's a gifted athlete that works really hard. But I think he even says, like, I'm not Steve Rogers. I'm not a super soldier. But he's just a gifted athlete. And that's why, like, the shield bouncing around and him catching it, that's just him, his hand-eye coordination. He's just an Army vet with a decorated veteran that is a great athlete. And then he takes the serum, because that's why – that's the latest episode is when he takes the serum. That's when – or he gets that batch. Because I'm with you. I thought he had a little something, but he definitely wasn't to Bucky's standards. He wasn't up. He wasn't as super soldiered as Bucky.
Again, I've only watched it once, so I don't know.
Well,
but
me too. But
I've been watching it completely different than you, because I've been under the impression he was enhanced
really
from the very beginning. Yeah. He was doing things that regular people weren't doing.
Well, they all are. And,
well, but right.
Even,
but
his buddy there,
Battle
his partner,
Star,
is.
Yeah, but he was.
He's coming in doing the same things.
Well, no, but not – he wasn't, though. Not to the level that Walker was doing it.
What did he do? What did Walker do that he didn't do? They both jumped onto the train the same way. Walker never ran anybody down.
Like, he wasn't – he didn't have the strength and all the – he didn't have the stuff that Walker had. I don't know. I mean, again, I can't – you know, again, I've only watched it once, and I can't pull it all back up in my head and rewatch it now. But every bit of me watching that show was under the impression that he had already been given the serum and already been enhanced.
And I was the opposite. So
I don't know.
Like, maybe we'll get comments this week.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go back and. I don't know. Well, I say I'm going to, and let's be honest, I'm probably not going to because I won't have time.
Just Google it.
Yeah, I'll go and read some of the synopsises or whatever of those episodes. But I really feel like he was already made Captain America, you know.
No, I did. I was under the impression that he wasn't, because I think that was it in the locker room early on that he had that conversation. It was something like that. He talked. That's why it was such a dilemma for him. Should I take the serum?
I thought he was just taking another dose of it to make himself stronger. Honestly, like,
yeah, but if
they didn't even really, did they even show him taking it?
No, like, they never showed him taking it. But you just all of a sudden saw him run really fast.
Well, I thought he took that vial because he was going to give it to his partner to make him strong.
No, but then he talked to his partner. If he had already,
his partner was dead at that point. You know.
Oh, true.
Was, you know, so.
But his partner wasn't dead when he took the serum. The conversation with his partner. If you had the opportunity to take the serum, would you? And his partner was like, "Hell yeah, yeah, I'd be taking
it." I thought he was gauging whether he was going to give it to him, or that's the way I was looking at it.
Oh,
like,
really?
He was trying to,
see, I
yeah,
thought
like
he was
trying to
see. I thought he was doing it on whether he should take it.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't know. We're just looking at it differently.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Because I was under one impression that he already had taken that stuff. You know.
Yeah. So. No. Now I'm even more sure he hadn't taken it. Because that's like he had that conversation with his partner. And then obviously he ends up all super soldiered out with the, you know, he can run as fast as Bucky now. And everybody was looking at him like, uh-oh. And they all were like, obviously he took it. And they're like, oh, he got a hold of it. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
What do we got? Two left?
Two left. Yeah.
Two left. Is that what we're up to?
Yeah.
That's good. I was afraid we only have one left. It's wrapping up quick, though. We're almost into summer, John. It's crazy.
I know.
Crazy. All right. Invincible. What do you think? How's it going with the, how's it going compared to the books?
Well, I'm starting to see it's deviating a little bit from the comics.
Oh, really? So now you're intrigued too?
Well, it's not drastically different. It's things are happening in the show, and I don't ever even want to say specifically because some of it you might not have picked up on yet.
Okay.
But at a much accelerated rate compared to in the comics. Like, there's things happening right now, basically in episode 5 of season 1, that we don't find out till like issue 100 in the comics. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're changing slightly that, but the overall theme of the show is still very, I think pretty true to the comic. It's still fairly accurate, but there's things that are being revealed about certain characters already that you don't find out in the comics for a long time, you know?
Okay.
So, but yeah, I still love it. I think it's great. This last episode had the Battle Beast, and he's a great character and definitely is going to reappear multiple times throughout the series. He's a pretty big character. And so I thought that was cool. You know, again, I don't know where you stand still on Omni-Man after seeing two more episodes.
Where would I say what?
Well, because after
the question is,
well, because you had question when we talked last about whether he did what he did on purpose and whether he knew what he had done, and I don't know if you still are wondering that or if you've kind of figured out what's going on with him yet. I don't want to spoil anything.
Obviously, it's probably the opposite of what I'm thinking, but I hate thinking that he did that on purpose. So I'm really holding out hope.
Right.
Really, you know, that's why they call him
Pretzel. Even though you watched him hovering above his son getting beaten to death by the Battle Beast and not intervening to save his son at all, you still are on the fence a little bit about what his motivations might be. So
tough love?
Yeah.
So. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I know you can't even, I know.
And I don't want to say, right? Because
I know. Well, you are, though.
Spoiled. Well, still not, though.
Right.
There's still more there. But
I know.
I don't even know where I was going with that now. But
it's a great show. It's
great. Yeah.
It's funny because we were watching it. Jen and I were watching it, was it the other day, last week or whatever. It's so good, but it's not for kids. It's so funny because it looks like it's for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The like art style.
The art style.
It looks like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's Super Friends, you know? Really. It's the same style as Super Friends. It's like almost the same colors. Like the same. And it sounds stupid, but I think you know what I mean. But like the same, the hues are the same almost as the Super Friends, you know. No Gleek, though, right? There's no
Gleek, no Wendy or Marvin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Form of.
Form of water.
Yeah. And she had always had a bucket available.
Yeah. In her pocket.
Yeah. It's a good thing she could be an animal. What if she became an inanimate object? It's like she, form of a rock. Now he's a puddle and she's a rock. We can't even go anywhere.
I don't know what you're doing. Yeah.
But
it's very, very bloody, you know, especially in this latest
Jen doesn't
episode.
Even like watching it. I have to put it on and hope she like doesn't let me make me shut it off.
Yeah, I was wondering if, because you said she was watching it, I didn't know if she was getting into it, because I haven't had Lydia watch it at all.
Yeah,
yet.
she's not a fan. She's not afraid of blood and guts.
No. She's and, just like, and they're not real blood and guts. They're cartoon blood and guts.
True. But even the story ideas are so adult. The, you know, what Omni-Man is doing and going through and what the kids are going through, the high school kids, and the but when you just looked at, if you're walking through the room, you're like, oh, I'll put my kid down in front of that.
Right.
Whoops.
Yeah. That's you wouldn't want to leave him there for long.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Looking forward to next week or Friday, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Couple days. Yeah.
I know another one that we can talk about it here, I guess. Resident Alien. Did you finish that yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's a good one for Kryptonite.
I didn't realize that it was the last episode, though. Like, I didn't realize when I watched it that
Was
the season finale. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just realized today that I hadn't seen it in a couple of weeks, and I looked and I realized that I'd already seen all of it. Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't see the end? Did you see the end?
I mean, like I saw the end, but but I didn't realize that was.
Well, I'm talking about like the after thing that
what
he
after
came
thing?
Right after the season ended, like right after the end of the episode. What's Alan Tudyk?
Alan Tudyk, yeah.
Yeah, he comes on and he's like, hey, thanks for watching season one. We'll be back with season two. You know,
oh,
soon.
No, when was that?
It was
I don't
literally
watch
right
I don't
after.
I watched through the credits.
I think it was during the credits,
show.
Yeah. Like the credits were rolling and then he came on the side, like on a screen like this.
I didn't, yeah.
And he had like earbuds in and he was talking to you like, hey, thanks for tuning in. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, no,
but we are coming back for season two, so we'll see you then.
Good.
So, yeah, that was great news, especially the way they ended it. They ended it, and like it's almost like they wrote it hoping that it would take off, but if it didn't, it was a self-contained story.
Right.
And they leave you with that.
Except the kid doesn't get back home.
Yeah, well, no, because actually the way they ended it, all he has to do – because he said, he's like, oh, this sucks. You know, he's mad. So basically, if they never did a show again, they turned the ship around and he took the kid home. No big deal.
Right. That's what you would assume.
That's what you'd assume. But now, yeah, I'm glad they're doing another season.
Me too. It was great.
Story
I really
arc of
it.
All
yeah.
the characters was fantastic. We should probably talk about that one next week in Real World.
Really fun.
Spoiler free. Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
It was really
show.
Good. Yeah. So, I mean, Jen even said, she's like, this is like a really cute show. And she goes,
yeah,
I don't mean cute because that's more of an adult show as well.
It is, but you know, he warms to the kids, you know
the
what
kids.
I mean? And they end up kind of,
I love
together,
the relationship,
and
the sheriff and the deputy.
Oh yeah. They were great.
They
that
were
sheriff awesome. Is awesome. He's like, he's like the best character on the show, I guess.
Oh but, yeah. He's like a guy out of the 70s.
Yeah.
He's just such a guy. Like, hey.
But, him and that, when he does the karaoke to get her to come back to work, I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, they just walked in the bar. The other two watching them sing. And they're like, one of them's crying.
Yeah.
The other one's like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, what was the song they were singing?
One of those love ballads.
It was some love ballad, and I was like, oh, he just happens to know all the words to this? And Jen goes, you don't? I'm like, no.
Oh, I did. I don't remember what the song was, but I know I knew it.
I would know the song to sing along with it. But I wouldn't know the song to join somebody. And if, like, they left the next line to me, I'd be like,
Well, I got nothing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't even know the song.
Well, I don't remember it now, but I remember knowing, like, when it was on, I knew what it was.
You know
what I mean?
Gentle, no.
Yeah.
Not gentle, no. All right. Is that all we got?
I think so.
Is that it for this week, John?
Yeah, we didn't really do a bunch of spoiler deep dives, but...
No, I'm expecting more next week.
But
Godzilla versus Kong. We'll have more Falcon Winter Soldier. Yeah. More Invincible.
Yep.
Getting back in the flow here, John. It's been 2 weeks.
I know.
It's my first vacation.
It was, yeah.
It was. It was lovely. Worked on my tan.
Nice.
Pool's open.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
In April.
Yeah. Oh, listen to you. What is it down there? What is it, only 80 down there right now? You guys don't open your pools till it hits 90?
Yeah, it's been in the 80s.
Oh, but come on, has it really?
Yeah, I'll say you guys are still in like the 60s, right?
Is all that snow melted from when the state got shut down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, finally. Took a while, but it's gone. Yeah, we've hit 80 a few days already.
We almost hit 60 today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be even colder.
Your pool's already open. It's like still pretty cold.
Yep. So. Yep. It was, it's open. I'll have it, I'll probably be in it in about a week. I have a heater, so. Cool. I like to swim year round as much as I can. So. All right.
Cool.
John. Let's get out of here.
Nice. These are new sound effects we didn't even have before. You're like a little sound effect crazy right
now.
You're just throwing them all in.
That's a darksaber.
Oh, the dark. I was going to say, that was the same. Oh, yeah.
And then we have. Yeah. And next week, we're going to have a little something extra, too.
Oh,
I'm going to add more. Wait. This is all I could add for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you after what I did here. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool little feature. But, all right, let's get out of here.
All right. Take care.